You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
Yeah! The Rough Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Yeah! Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belleville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Monday, March 2nd, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We're so glad you could join us. I can't believe it's March already. What an amazing end of February we had. Plenty busy here at Rolla J Studios. Getting ready for the first annual Portland Normal, the inaugural, I should say. It's a monthly meeting. But the inaugural Portland Normal membership meeting took place this Saturday. I had the last couple of days off, Thursday and Friday, getting ready for that meeting. And I got to say, it was a rousing success. We had 50 reform advocates showing up, very excited about getting on board with ensuring that adult marijuana consumers in this state are treated with the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as adult alcohol consumers. We're going to be showing you most of that meeting in the second hour, our Toker Talk Radio Hour. We've got my presentation on the founding principles of Portland Normal. Then that's followed by a 20-minute question and answer session with Anthony Johnson. He's the chief petitioner of Measure 91 and currently the head of the New Approach Oregon campaign to ensure that Measure 91 gets implemented as the voters intended. Very good questions from the audience. You'll want to check out the answers in hour two. Also, a very wonderful speech from Sean McAllister, the executive director of Dallas-Fort Worth Normal, who got on a plane early this morning, headed back to Dallas-Fort Worth. I'm actually headed to Dallas-Fort Worth coming up in a couple of weeks. March 17th, I'll be appearing at Texas Christian University as part of a Blunt Truth marijuana debate panel. I think Kevin Sabet is representing the other side, but I can't confirm that yet. But we'll be there March 17th and spending the week there through Friday. So if you've ever wanted to meet me and you're in the North Texas area, we will plan all sorts of events. I'm sure Sean and Andrea will help me get something planned if we want to have a meetup for fans of the Russ Belleville Show and 420 Radio. Also, we have got some great stuff in the first hour to bring to you. Of course, we've got Dr. Mitch Earlywine on the phone today for our weekly cannabis science segment. If you got a question on cannabis science, culture, history, or health, this is your opportunity to get your live questions answered. You can do so by phoning us at 971-533-7111 at the bottom of the hour, or you can send your questions in through our live chat room on ustream.tv. You can find the chat room by going to 420radio.org and just clicking the green chat button. And if you are a podcast listener, you can always send your emails in to us at 420research@gmail.com, or you can send them straight to me, radicalruss@gmail.com, and we'll be glad to get your questions answered by Dr. Mitch at the half past mark. Also on the show, we'll have time for a radical rant. The Oregon Liquor Control Commission has been tasked with implementing Measure 91 regulations. They've made a bunch of requests to the legislature, some of which I feel violate the spirit and intent of the voters who passed Measure 91. We'll talk about that in the radical rant at the end of our first hour. Also on the show, we've got some drug war data mining. Colorado's Marijuana Enforcement Division has issued its annual report for 2014 and tells us exactly how much marijuana was consumed, at least legally, in the state of Colorado. And we've got a stupid prohibition story coming from the state of Utah. You won't believe what the DEA thinks the effect of marijuana legalization will be on the Beehive State. But before we get to all of that, we've got the 420 Radio News. In the headlines, we've got a conference of tribal leaders discussing marijuana legalization, plans for the Oregon legislature by the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, the Republican millennials want legalization, a Florida jury releases a medical marijuana patient, and New Jersey activists are planning a smokeout on March 21st. All that coming up on the Russ Belleville Show. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're tuned into the Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the Ustream video app for Android and iPhone. Go to rad-r.us/420Ustream or just click the Ustream app icon for Android or iPhone below the live radio feed at 420radio.org. Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
Funky Roller Ring.
This is Big Daddy, and I want you to join me every Thursday night for some good old soul, funk, and disco at the Funky Roller Rink on 420 Radio. You dig?
Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today. It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Melville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is your 420 Radio News for Monday, March 2nd, 2015. On Saturday, some 75 tribal leaders from across the country met to discuss forming the first tribal cannabis association at the Tulalip Resort Casino in Washington State. This followed a packed day on February 27th of the Tribal Marijuana Conference presentations and panels, with speakers as diverse as former U.S. Attorney Troy Ide, present chair of President Barack Obama's National Indian Law and Order Commission, to the city attorneys of both Seattle and Boulder, Colorado, who gave in-depth overviews of how implementation is proceeding in their respective cities of state laws legalizing marijuana possession and usage. A memo issued by the Department of Justice in October 28th of 2014 instructed all U.S. attorneys to not pursue prosecution of federally recognized tribes that choose to legalize and regulate marijuana if they meet priorities laid out in a memorandum issued by Deputy Attorney General Cole on August 29th, 2013. The Oregon Liquor Control Commission this week plans to submit to the Oregon legislature dozens of policy recommendations and technical fixes to the new marijuana law, as well as ideas the agency has collected on its statewide listening tour. Last week, the commission sent a clear message about medical marijuana dispensaries and recreational shops sharing the same location. The agency said all marijuana sold in a recreational shop must be tracked from seed to sale. Currently, medical marijuana production is unregulated. The OLCC also asked lawmakers to establish a third-party lab certification process given the deficiencies of labs testing marijuana for potency, mold, mildew, and pesticides, as well as the authority to create 3 subcategories within the processor license, and the agency wants employees of marijuana license holders, such as retailers, to hold a server's permit as a condition of employment similar to the one issued to people who serve alcohol.
Nearly two-thirds of millennials who identify as Republicans support legalizing marijuana, while almost half of older GOP Gen Xers do, according to a recently released Pew survey that could be an indicator of where the debate is heading. While the Pew Research Center survey published on Friday shows a 14 percentage point gap between Republicans and Democrats under the age of 34, 6 in 10 GOP-leaning millennials said they favor legalizing cannabis. 77% of surveyed Democrats in the same age group held that view. For those aged 35 to 50, the same 14 percentage point gap between Republicans and Democrats was evidence, but the respective percentages were somewhat lower. In that age group, 47% of Republicans favored legalization as opposed to 61% of Democrats. The survey on attitudes on marijuana legalization by political affiliation largely mirrors a survey Pew conducted a year ago concerning same-sex marriage. A Broward County, Florida jury returned a not guilty verdict Monday after deliberating for less than an hour on the case of Jesse Toplicky, who was caught by authorities cultivating marijuana plants. Toplicky's defense, the first of its kind in the state of Florida, was that he grows and uses marijuana for a medical need, a defense that has worked on the appeals court level, but never before had been tried in front of a jury. Toplicky, age 50, raised his hands and embraced his defense lawyer, Michael C. Minardi, who told the jury that Toplicky needs marijuana to alleviate the nausea and loss of appetite that are symptoms of his lifelong struggle with anorexia. Toplicky told jurors that he has been smoking since he was a teenager and that marijuana is the only substance that gives him the relief he needs to function. Quote, "I have nothing to hide," end quote, said Toplicky. A coalition of groups advocating for marijuana legalization in New Jersey have announced plans for a New Jersey Spring Smokeout rally outside the Statehouse in Trenton this month. The March 21st demonstration supports legalization and any progressive measures on marijuana, according to a Facebook page for the event. A million joint march is scheduled to begin at 2 p.m. at the New Jersey Transit River Line station near the Trenton Transit Center and proceed to the Statehouse. At 4:20 p.m., the group will smoke out the Statehouse by lighting up across the street from the main entrance, according to organizers. "One thing that marijuana activism is lacking in New Jersey is a street presence," said Ed Forshian, who is known as New Jersey Weed Man. Quote, "That is how the civil rights did it," end quote, said Forshian, who is one of the organizers. This has been your 420 Radio News for Monday, March 2nd, 2015. I'm Russ Belville.
420 Radio is 24-hour marijuana legalization radio.
Get your tickets now for the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference, March 15th and 16th at the Hilton in Eugene, Oregon, powered by MarijuanaPolitics.com. Former presidential candidate and two-term New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson will deliver the keynote address. Harborside Health Center's Steve D'Angelo will present at the pre-conference VIP reception. You'll also hear from State Senator Floyd Prezansky, New Approach Oregon's Anthony Johnson, Oregon marijuana attorneys Paul Loney and Leland Berger, and Oregon Liquor Control Commission's Director of Marijuana Programs, Tom Burns. Get your tickets at early bird pricing by acting now. Learn more at the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference at ommbc.com. This conference will provide you with a head start for success in the expanding Oregon marijuana industry. Get your tickets today at OMM.
With over a billion people in the world, chances are there's somebody out there just like you. There are software engineers, pastry chefs, artists, and people with medical conditions. And what do many of these people have in common? They use marijuana. It's expected that marijuana will be legalized in California. And when that happens, what will be the biggest concern? Safety. That's where we come in. Hi-Def Transit is a discreet shuttle service that also serves as a mobile vapor room. Members can medicate on board, while our certified drivers get you to your destination safely, so you can enjoy the ride. So hop in, make friends, and ride safe. Hi-Def Transit.
Prohibition story.
As a public service, the Russ Belville Show reminds you that smoking marijuana does not make one stupid. However, some stupid people do smoke marijuana, and prohibition is always waiting for another victim. Learn your lesson from today's stupid prohibition stories.
With your stupid prohibition stories, I'm your old-timey 1920s radio reporter, Freddie Farrakh. This just in. Utah is considering a bill that would allow patients with certain debilitating conditions to be treated with edible forms of marijuana. If the bill passes, the state's wildlife may cultivate a taste for the plant and lose their fear of humans, and basically be high all the time. That's according to testimony presented to the Utah State Senate panel last week by an agent of the Drug Enforcement Administration. Special Agent Matt Fairbanks, who's been working in the state for over a decade, said, quote, "I don't deal in facts, I deal in science." He is a member of the marijuana eradication team in Utah. Fairbanks spoke of his time eliminating backcountry marijuana grows in the Utah mountains, specifically the environmental costs associated with large-scale weed cultivation on public land. Quote, "Personally, I have seen entire mountainsides subject to pesticides, harmful chemicals, deforestation, and erosion. The ramifications to the flora, animal life, and contaminated water are still unknown." End quote. Fairbanks said that at some illegal marijuana grow sites, he saw rabbits that had cultivated a taste for marijuana. "One of them refused to leave us, and we took all the marijuana around him, but his natural instincts to run were somehow gone." Apparently, the threat of stoned bunnies overrunning the beehive state was not scary enough for the Utah Senate. The panel approved the bill and sent it to the full Senate, where it will be debated this week. I'm Freddie Farrakh with your stupid prohibition stories.
Oh, you should have seen this bunny. He's a real killer. He got great big pointy teeth. He can jump so far. Look at the bones.
What is John Cleese in the Utah Senate now? What the hell is going on here? Yes, folks, you heard that right. At first, it was, you know, it was the demon drug that was going to lead you straight to heroin. And then, of course, it was going to lead the black men to crave sex with the white women. And then it was going to, you know, grow your man boobs. And then it was going to affect your chromosomes and damage your sperm. Then it was going to turn into an A-motivated slacker loser. Then apparently that's not working anymore. So they got to scare us with the critters. You remember a while ago when they were warning us? Was it Michelle Lenhart was warning us about dogs who might accidentally eat marijuana edibles and the danger to them? Well, now Utah's gone one step further and is now protecting the poor bunny population. Oh, poor bunnies. That has got to be the silliest defense of marijuana prohibition I've ever heard in my life. We got to keep locking up adults in cages for marijuana. Won't somebody think of the bunnies? Won't somebody think of the poor rabbits? Oh my God, this is unbelievable. And it's like, you might as well make a defense of alcohol prohibition based on the fact that squirrels sometimes get drunk. I mean, it's just the most... You see those orangutans and those monkeys out in Southeast Asia that smoke cigarettes? That's why we need to lock up people for cigarettes. By God, we got to protect the monkeys, the rabbits, and the dogs from the dangers of drugs. Leave it to the DEA to manufacture. Just when you thought the defenses of marijuana prohibition had scraped the absolute bottom of the barrel.
We've got to save the rabbit. Save the rabbit. Save the rabbit.
Oh, wow. All right. If you get any other stupid prohibition stories, make sure you send them my way. My email address is radicalrus@gmail.com or russ@radicalrus.com. Just look for Radical Russ on social media. I'm out there everywhere.
What are you people? On dope?
No, sir. No, Mr. Hand. Just this rabbit. This rabbit is smoking weed. As you can see, he's built up quite a tolerance. He's on his second joint for the day. There you go, Mr. Rabbit. Enjoy your weed. Hey, it's 420 in Denver, Colorado. Let's help him smoke some more. When we come back, we'll tell you exactly how much they smoked in Colorado last year. Stick around. It's the Russ Belville Show.
420 Radio, the activist radio station. Are you in the market for portable vaporizers now? Get online to vapes.buzz, the quick and easy link to portablevaporizersnow.com. Vapes.buzz has everything you are looking for, including vape pens, herbal vaporizers, e-juice, parts, accessories, and more. Visit vapes.buzz and use promo code 420radio to get 10% off your online purchase, or just give them a call at 866-264-2415. Vapes.buzz. Get vaping, baby!
Hey, this is Big Daddy, and I want you to know it's never too late to join me at the Funky Roller Rink every Thursday night, right here on 420 Radio.
Funky Roller Rink.
I like it like that.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz. Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Welcome back, everyone. 23 after the hour, and today in the Drug War Data Mine, I'm recalling the late Tennessee Ernie Ford, who had a hit song back in the day with 16 tons. You remember the line? You load 16 tons, and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt, right? You remember that one? Well, folks, Colorado has outdone Tennessee Ernie Ford and lifted 17 tons of retail marijuana consumption last year. 17 tons, people. 17 tons of recreational buds during the first year of the state's retail marijuana market. But medical pot has still outstripped that almost by a factor of three. Medical marijuana sold 50 tons in the past year. Amazing. 50 tons, folks. That's a total of 67 tons of marijuana that was bought and sold, grown and harvested, packaged and delivered to legal consumers. That's 67 tons of marijuana that was not sold on the criminal underground market. 67 tons. So when you hear these DEA people and the new Colorado Attorney General talking about, well, it hasn't eliminated the black market, but it's taken 67 tons away from the black market. That's a good seizure even by DEA numbers, isn't it? And of course, there's tax money that has been raised from that legal marijuana. State tax officials say sales hit nearly $700 million last year. $700 million. Medical marijuana was $386 million of that. Recreational marijuana was $313 million. Almost $700 million. Now, that's nothing in Pentagon budget numbers, but still, that's a nice chunk of change for any state that's out there listening and considering a new source of revenue. The pot-infused products, the edibles, however, were an interesting dichotomy. You know, a lot of people talk about needing the edibles for patients, that patients need these edible products because some of them have compromised immune systems. Some of them can't smoke very readily. And yet, in Colorado, where three times as many flowers were sold medically than were sold recreationally, pot-infused edibles outstripped medical sales. There were 2.85 million units sold, and that would be your, you know, probably based off the potency, right? So I don't know if they're saying unit, like, does a 10 milligram cookie count the same as a 100 milligram cookie, or does units mean per units of milligrams of THC? I don't know. Wasn't clear in the article I was reading. Still, 2.85 million units of recreational edibles sold versus 1.96 million, nearly 2 million. Of medical edibles sold. What I feel this owes a lot to is the lack of a public sort of vapor lounge, a coffee shop, a pub, where newbies and tourists who have a large share of that Colorado market have no place to smoke flowers. So they choose edibles instead. And by choosing edibles that they have very little experience with, sometimes end up making embarrassing headlines for themselves. There are now 322 recreational retail stores licensed up for, I'm sorry, 322 retail stores. That may also include the medical. Licensed up from about 200 halfway through last year. So added about 122 after 6 months. 322 stores throughout all of Colorado, but there are still many counties and jurisdictions in the state of Colorado that have banned such licensees. So this is 322 when in just the places that are allowing them. And it somewhat comports with what we've got in Washington state, which I believe has 331 total licensed locations in the state. Medical marijuana businesses are cultivating 300,000 marijuana plants a month. And the retail plants started at about 25,000. I'm sorry, the recreational plants started at fewer than 25,000 in January. And now they're up to 217,000 per month in the month of December. So in the month of December, 500,000 legal marijuana plants being cultivated in the state of Colorado. 500,000 plants, 67 tons of processed flowers, $700 million in tax revenue out of 322 stores. This does not even begin to account for all the jobs that have been created, not just directly in the marijuana market for trimmers and bud tenders and growers and so forth, but all the ancillary jobs created in the soil companies and the people that make the little tools for trimming and the people that make the little picks for dabbing and the people who do packaging and advertising for the marijuana companies. The growth in the state of Colorado has yet to be measured fully. But just from these preliminary numbers out of this report, it's nothing but good news for the other states that might be considering marijuana legalization.
420 Radio, the home of marijuana experts. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com.
NARMAL stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
It's time for the Russ Belleville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pens the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
Welcome back, everybody. Time to take your dose of cannabis medicine with Cannabis Q&A. Dr. Mitch is on the line with us from SUNY Albany. Where is it, sunny at SUNY today?
Sunny but cold. We got up to 27 and it felt really warm.
Oh my God, 27. I don't even want to tell you what this weekend was like in Portland. Once again, I had Southerners. We had Southerners from Texas this time. And once again, it was beautiful and blue skies and sunny. I got to bring Southerners here to my place a little more often, I think.
Sounds like a good habit.
All right. Folks, want to remind you, we're taking our live questions with Dr. Mitch Earlywine in our Cannabis Q&A. You can get your question on the phone by dialing 971-533-7111. And we also take questions in our chat room. If you go to 420radio.org, click on the green chat button. Just scroll down a bit. You'll find it. And you can ask live chat questions. But we always start off the segment by giving Dr. Mitch the opportunity to tell us what's new in the world of cannabis science.
We've got still more coverage on this cannabis being less lethal than just about anything else. Some new treatment effects done at down in New Orleans at LSU. Women's perceptions of cannabis is more risky. And studies identifying teens at risk for synthetic marijuana use. And finally, the cerebrovascular events, one of those case control studies that probably looks a little more horrifying than it is.
All right. Well, let's just run down the list here. We reported on this last week, too. The study that came out that said not only is marijuana safer than alcohol, it's the safest, and alcohol is the most dangerous of the recreational drugs. Any new fallout from that that you wanted to tell us about or how people are reacting to this study?
What I just liked was this Huffington Post coverage has a really nice, vivid graphic of all of this. And you see THC way, way down in the low-risk category, and literally all the other drugs up in the high-risk and risky drug categories. And it just kind of sends the message home that it's not just that marijuana is a little less risky, it's probably 150 times less risky, and I think it just sends a nice message.
I'm surprised that we didn't hear anything coming out of the anti-marijuana side, where the chart clearly showed that not only is marijuana was safer than alcohol, but so is cocaine and meth and even heroin. And I wonder why they didn't attack, they said marijuana was safer. What's next? Cocaine being legal?
It's funny because once you take a look at these data, you can see, cocaine's a little safer than alcohol, but not a lot. And so I feel like our argument about a separate market for THC really does make some sense.
All right. Let's get to a question from the chat room. Pokey Smokey from Idaho. It's a very simple question. Decarboxylization. What, how, why? I love that.
The bottom line is that THC for making at least edibles and probably tinctures as well responds better if you can decarboxylate. You can basically take one of these carbon compound aspects off the big molecule simply by, getting your oven heated up to about 200 degrees, sticking your ground-up cannabis on a nice cookie sheet all laid out nice and flat, putting it in there, turning the oven off, and letting it cool down. And odds are high, you don't want to burn it, but you'll notice that it's a little bit browner. And then go ahead and put that in your 151 rum or your food-based glycerin or any of those kinds of things. Wait a while, and you'll find it's a lot more accessible, a lot more THC can actually get into your system than if you just throw the regular green pod in there.
Hmm. Okay, so this is like some sort of transformative process then that's getting us what we really want.
In fact, yeah, it's essentially making the THC more accessible by exposing it to heat a little bit beforehand.
All right. We have this story, and it's interesting survey information, Pew Research, or was it Pew? I'm not sure, but that women were nearly twice as likely to see regular cannabis use as risky. That kind of comports with what we see in opinion polls on legalization, where women are usually 5 to 10 points behind men's support. And Vendikar in our chat room wants to know what you think are the contributing factors that concern women's feelings on cannabis safety.
Well, what's curious is, women also perceive a lot of other things as riskier, and I think the framing it as, oh, women see things as riskier, may be a bit of a sexist way of wording it. In fact, it's that men just think they're immune to anything. So, I mean, men think eating fat is less risky, men think not exercising is less risky, so I really feel like trying to pin this just on some wild cannabis-related attitudes may be missing the boat that, in fact, men are just sensation seekers who think they're immune to all things until they, you know, reach a certain age.
I like that. We got to just look at it from the other side. It's not that women think cannabis is more risky. It's men think it's less risky.
Exactly.
Okay. We have these cannabis treatments being studied at Louisiana State University in New Orleans at their Department of Health. And I believe it had something to do with Alzheimer's research. Can you fill us in on this?
This is actually really cool, and we've had data since 2006, if not earlier, suggesting that the amyloid plaques that are associated with Alzheimer's seem to develop much less rapidly when THC is there to kind of interfere with that process. And then this is also citing some of the research where basically if you've got a COX-2 inhibitor, if you've got basically sort of aspirin-like anti-inflammatory compounds in combination with the THC, you're probably not going to get the negative memory effects or some of the things that people are concerned about with THC, and you can still get those splendid antioxidant, anti-cancer, and anti-inflammatory effects. And so I'm not sure what the design is here, and in part because it's funded by a drug company, we may not get to know until the product is developed. But the fact that anybody is throwing almost $500,000 at this gives me a lot of hope. I mean, obviously my mom had dementia, so I'm super sensitive to this kind of stuff. But I really feel like there's something here that's big for a big aging population where it looks like this has a lot of promise. In fact, the last study I saw suggested that THC was better at interfering with that amyloid plaque development than a few of the drugs that have already been approved for Alzheimer's disease.
Wow, that is remarkable. And I think as we see the aging baby boomer demographic head into their silver years, there's going to be a lot more attention to geriatric care. And I believe cannabis could have a large effect on that, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We have a follow-up question from left-wing Larry in our chat room on the decarboxylization of marijuana, wanting to know if vaporization does that for you, or should you decarboxylate before you vaporize?
In fact, if you're going to expose cannabis to heat in the process, you're going to get about as much THC out of it as you can. It's really more for making tinctures and edibles, that the decarboxylation.
Okay, so straight herb in the vaporizer is just fine.
Exactly.
Okay. This study on kids, teenagers, being at risk for synthetic marijuana use. I'm curious about this one and how it might compare to them just being at risk for marijuana use.
What's funny is, I mean, they basically walked through and said, you know, it looks like over 10% of high school seniors are playing with this, and we just don't know how this works. It was developed for animal research, and I think they think, oh, hey, I can pass a drug test with this, or it's legal, therefore it must be safe. And my friend Joey Palomar was taking a look at this, and in particular, it looks like this used to be a thing where African Americans and Latinos used to leave this alone, and now that's no longer the case. And, in fact, I might have him give you a call, Russ, and really walk through these data. It's from that Monitoring the Future study. But yeah, the bottom line is it's very much like the risk for cannabis use, but the negative consequences are just potentially so much worse.
Yeah, and from a health consequence standard, absolutely. And was there anything about this that indicated the presence of drug testing in the schools as being a factor leading towards synthetic use over natural use?
So, Joey, Dr. Palomar definitely thinks that that's the case. The number of high schools, it's not broken down by who does and who doesn't do the drug testing in this data set, so it's hard to know in admiring the future crew if that's having a big impact or not. But when you just talk to teens about it in general, it may be an accessibility issue in addition to that idea of passing drug tests.
And the just to be clear, for our chat room, I had a question. We're talking about these things that are called Spice or K2, this
exactly.
When we talk about these synthetic marijuana.
Exactly.
Yeah, and these are sprayed with what were, lab chemicals, synthetic cannabinoids that are like, they're turbo cannabinoids, man. They're set to really agonize these receptors. There's no way they're intended for,
THC is basically a partial agonist in the sense that it'll get that receptor to fire, but not at the rate that these things do. And none of them have real names. It's always, JWH and a bunch of numbers and stuff like that. Like, these are really synthetics. This is something somebody made in the lab to play with in animals, and it just reached humans in a really backwards, disappointing way.
All right, folks, we got time for one more question here. But before we go, remember, if you want to get your question answered by email and keep it private, you can just email 420research@gmail.com. This last study about increased risk of cerebrovascular events, that would be strokes, wouldn't it?
Exactly.
What's going on there?
It's funny because I haven't been able to see the real data. I've only been able to get a hold of these news coverage things. It's a fairly well-done case-control study where you take folks who've already had one of these cerebrovascular accidents and compare them to comparable folks who haven't, and then try to see what's different on there. Obviously, there are a whole lot of things, including tobacco and alcohol consumption, that are confounding these results. You can't randomly assign somebody to have a stroke. So I'm a little apprehensive about blaming all this on cannabis when, in fact, the tobacco and alcohol stuff may be just as compelling. But once I see the real stats on this paper, I'll be able to say more about it.
All right, we'll follow up on that. Now, in the past, we've talked about the scares that they've mentioned as marijuana use leading to strokes. In that previous data, though, it was the same situation?
In fact, they were trying to do a better job. They went across a whole bunch of different, it was a meta-analysis. They went a whole bunch of different data sets, and it's not randomly assigned. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense pharmacologically, but the bottom line is we need more data, and I can't draw a firm conclusion. If you're at high risk for stroke for other reasons, though, definitely, make sure you exercise regularly, keep your blood pressure down. Don't eat too much fat. Try not to be an angry person. Meditate every day. Do all those good things. And I got a feeling the plant is probably not going to be an issue.
All right. Well, Dr. Mitch, we appreciate you joining us every Monday here on Cannabis Science. Folks, if you missed it, you can catch the replay coming up in just 3 hours from now, or catch it online at Radical Russ on YouTube or the 420radio.org page. Thanks, Dr. Mitch. We'll talk to you next week.
Looking forward to it.
All right, when we come back, time for a radical rant, taking on the Oregon Liquor Control Commission and their wish list at the Oregon Legislature. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, fighting prohibition since 2012.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
Marijuana use impairs coordination, balance, perception, motivation, memory, and judgment, which can lead to the risk of injuries and activities in sports. Marijuana, it limits performance.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org. When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, firedublawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email firedublawyer@gmail.com.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
And one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Welcome back. 46 after the hour, the Oregon Liquor Control Commission has made its recommendations to the Oregon legislature as to rule fixes, law changes, and authority that it wishes it had to deal with marijuana legalization. There's a lot to get to, so let's get right to it. The Oregon Liquor Control Commission would like age verification requirements. They want to be able to use that kind of equipment to verify age like they do for liquor. I think that's probably a good thing. Bonding. Measure 91 does not require marijuana producers to have a bond to cover their tax obligations. They want the OLCC to be able to require producers to purchase a bond. What do we do for alcohol, guys? Is that the rule for alcohol? If so, then might as well make it the rule for marijuana, right? Civil penalty. Uncertainty surrounding the kinds of potential compliance problems. They want the authority to utilize civil penalties to gain compliance, to provide flexibility as the agency encounters unanticipated issues. The request here is to match OLCC's alcohol civil penalty authority. It wasn't what we voted on in Measure 91, but if we are saying treat it like alcohol, then I don't see that this is too unreasonable a request. Confiscation of marijuana. OLCC may need to confiscate or seize limited amounts of marijuana to establish violations, like in the case of a minor decoy operation, or to hold product that is in excess of recorded amounts. They want an amendment to Section 7, Paragraph 5 of Measure 91 to make clear OLCC can do that. I don't see a problem in that is written, but we'll have to take a look at that in more detail. Fees. There is no fee authority in Measure 91. The OLCC wants the power to impose fees beyond the application fee to cover issues such as label approvals and changes in location. I think we're in dangerous territory allowing OLCC to just start up a whole bunch of extra fees to get in the way of the businesses that want to try to run legal marijuana shops. I think we should be very careful about this. Firearms. To comply with the U.S. DOJ, the OLCC needs statutory authority to ban firearms on licensed premises. Okay, you want to set up a pot shop to be an easy place to be robbed? Is that what's going on here? What is the law for alcohol? Now, if indeed no firearms are allowed at a liquor store or at a bar or at a tavern or at a grocery store that is selling a beer, well, then make that the rule for marijuana. But no special rules for marijuana that we're not applying to alcohol. Besides, alcohol is the one that makes people violent and crazy. If we're allowing firearms anywhere near alcohol sales, then they ought to be allowed near marijuana sales. There's a request for an insurance provision. OLCC's intent that business practices of its licensees match the practices generally followed within the business community. They should have an ability to require liability protection. They want to require marijuana licensees to have all sorts of insurance. again, it's one of those things that sounds like a good idea until you start looking at the details of, well, how much insurance, what's the coverage, what's the deductible? You know, if this gets into ridiculous territory where someone's going to need, you know, six figures up front to be able to afford all these fees and security requirements and insurances, then in effect, you're locking out some of the mom and pop operations that have made a successful marijuana market up to this point. So insurance in and of itself is not a bad thing, but let's make sure that it's reasonable. Investigatory tools. The issuance of subpoenas compel production of documents or testimony. Regulatory tools. OLCC wants the power to issue subpoenas, compel production of documents and or testimony. I think that's, I don't know if that's controversial or not. I think being able to enforce the law is an important part of marijuana legalization. So let's see how that goes. Lab testing license. Now, this is an important one. I'm glad this one is in the list. There is no license for labs to hold marijuana and test it for other licensees. So we've got to have a license so that they can set quality control and health and safety standards. And that goes along with this next point on laboratory certification. And throughout their listening tour, and I got to commend the OLCC because they actually listened. They listened to a lot of the marijuana growers and the operators of medical marijuana facilities who have pointed out that they'll get their stuff tested at one lab and then get it back tested from another lab with completely different results. If we're going to have a requirement for lab testing, who tests the labs? This is where OLC is wanting to establish a third-party lab certification process, and I applaud that wholeheartedly. We would never expect that a beer that says 5% alcohol by volume in one store would end up being 7% alcohol by volume in another store. We should not accept that for marijuana. There needs to be laboratory certification and testing standards. I applaud the OLCC for going forward with this. Vindicar in our chat room wants to know who's the third party that's going to certify the labs. Well, that's the question. You know, who's the authority on such issues? It's not like the State Department of Weights and Measures or any existing bureaucracy has come up with such a laboratory testing standard. I don't think that means we can't. I think we can come up with a clear standard. They want to have the limitations on co-location of licensees may find it necessary to not allow multiple license types at the same location. Things perhaps if you had like six grow licenses, you put them all at the same location. Or what if a person wanted to have a grow license, a process license, and a retail license so they could grow their own specialty strain, have tours where people see the grow and see the processing of it, and be able to shop at the shop, you know, like what we see with the micro brews, the craft brews in this state, like what we see with the wineries in this state. Again, if we're going to allow it for alcohol, let's allow it for marijuana. No more onerous restrictions on marijuana than what we have for alcohol. So allowing co-location of licensees as far as the recreational side goes is something that I think the OLCC should not be monkeying with. Now, there is also their act of saying that they don't like the idea of co-locating recreational and medical facilities. I believe that a medical dispensary should be allowed to upgrade and also be able to serve recreational customers. I believe that's in the best interest of the consumers to have as many possible places to shop. I don't think it should be required of medical places to have to serve recreational consumers. But if they want to, they should be able to. But I also understand OLCC's point that if they are going to have the authority over the recreational stores and they're required to comply with the Cole memo, and part of what they believe is required of the Cole memo is some sort of seed-to-sale tracking system, then you can't have seed-to-sale tracked recreational marijuana sold in the same store as unregulated processed marijuana from the medical side. I think the solution is to find a way by which the medical producers could, if they chose to, comply with a seed-to-sale tracking system. What I'm saying is open up the seed-to-sale tracking system for all growers, require it of the recreational ones, make it optional for the medical ones, but they have to choose that option if they want to sell in a recreational store. That's something I think the OLCC should take a look at. Another thing OLCC has specified is they want to deal with the statutes surrounding the origin of seeds and plants. How do you get your licensed grow facility started unless you can start with some seeds or some cuttings? So they are talking about possibly allowing medical inventory, that is medical seeds and cuttings, to be made available for people who wish to establish recreational grows. Well, then you're making my point, aren't you? Aren't you making my point about how there should be an avenue by which medical can sell in recreational? The only difference here is your avenue is this tiny little German, you know, back alley where it's, I mean, European, you know, small roads, forgive the metaphor. It's this little back alley where only, you know, you can only get into it through selling a seed to a recreational provider, right? Well, why not just increase that to being able to sell the products of the medical side? Again, if they're tracked seed to sale, like the recreational side has to do. There's some problems with overlapping jurisdictions, the Oregon Department of Agriculture and the OLCC, to figure out, you know, where they're overlapping. That's just some technical fixes. Payment of tax. The OLCC is saying since there's going to be this electronic seed to sale tracking system, there's no reason anybody has to wait for 2 months for the taxes to be paid. If we know seed to sale, you should be able to pay tax almost immediately. Well, that sounds to me like OLCC just want to make sure the money's coming in as quickly as possible. But if it streamlines the process and it is no more onerous to the business owner, I don't see why that's a problem. OLCC wants peace officer authority for the enforcement of administrative and criminal violations of the marijuana law. This would be the similar authority they have over alcohol. Again, if we're saying treat it like alcohol, then maybe they should have the same authority to deal with it. Possession of marijuana by government entities, specifying the Oregon Health Authority, the Oregon Agriculture, DEQ, and other Oregon agencies may need to possess marijuana at times for compliance and enforcement. And there's no protection for the workers of those agencies to possess marijuana. I think OLCC's got its protections and maybe that's it. So there does need to be some statutory section allowing these other government agencies the ability to possess marijuana without penalty. Now here's the big one. Potential overlap between medical and recreational. OLCC desires to implement Measure 91 in full compliance with the Cole memo and does not want that to be compromised by allowing product into the system that has not been subject to vigorous regulation. If system integration is contemplated, require medical products that come into the recreational system to be subject to all the standards of the recreational system. I agree with that, so long as it's voluntary for medical growers to become a part of the system. If they want to be a part of the rec system and sell in rec stores, they ought to have to follow the rec rules. But they should not be forced to have to all be part of one system. A separate medical system should be allowed to continue to exist. They want to set rules on the presenting of identification for age, processing licenses divided into categories of packaging, concentrates, and manufactured products. Want to define packaging at the producer level. This is a long list, folks. We don't have enough time to get into all of this. Seed-to-sale tracking system being asked for. Server permits. I think a server permit's a good idea. Make sure that all of our bud tenders are trained in proper hygiene and basic knowledge of marijuana. They want to make sure that use of marijuana in a vehicle is absolutely illegal for everyone. They want to repeal Section 55 regarding giving people a ticket for accidentally bringing their marijuana into a correctional facility. Against that. Electronic fund transferability. They want to decide whether or not the legislature will allow home delivery, whether or not there'll be marijuana lounges and or bars. Changing the name of the Oregon Liquor Control Commission to include cannabis, maybe add another C. Deciding whether or not there should be residency requirements with respect to marijuana. Specify no licenses within 1,000 feet of a school. Change some definitions of extracts, concentrates, leaves, marijuana, and so forth. Like I said, folks, it's a whole bunch of stuff. We'll cover as much of it as we can, but for now, that's all the time we got for today. Stay tuned. Hour 2 is next. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.